love this podcast? Head to patreon.com/DATC Media Company to find out how you can show your support. DATC Media is very excited to be a Nugs.net official affiliate. Never miss the show. Nugs.net allows you to stream live concert audio and video in their app anytime, anywhere. Listen to last night's show with premium sound quality and official soundboard recordings. Watch a stacked archive of past live performances from countless artists and access future subscriber-exclusive live streams. Easily keep track of your tour highlights with shareable playlists and more. Take a scroll through and you'll quickly see why Nugs.net is my favorite app. Link in show notes to start your 7-day free trial. Nugs.net, where live music lives.
There have been so many roundabout fakeouts over the years that, like, are they really doing it? And then it's like, all right, they're actually doing it.
What's happening? What is that? Is that from The Office where Michael Scott is like yelling and everybody, he's like, it's happening. And like everybody's running out. Like that was me yesterday. Like, oh my God, it's actually happening.
And it was a killer like choice for the opener. Just like
the whole set was just
that first note, I'll tell you, like he just hits that note. I'm like, yep.
It was Jake in the spotlight and everybody's attention. Like, I just like zoned out. I was like, whatever I was saying was meaningless. Let's just watch this guy go.
This is it. It was amazing.
A member of the DATC media family. Greetings, fellow music enthusiasts. Welcome to Dropped Among This Crowd podcast. This is your space to explore the role of music in our lives, our love for it, and the sense of community that it creates. Each episode of the show will feature a diverse selection of topics and insightful conversations revolving around three core themes: music, community, and Umphrey's McGee. I'm your host, Sarah J, and I'm thrilled to have you along for the ride. Are you prepared for what comes next?
Joining me. I'm Sarah J from Drop Among This Crowd podcast. I'm joined with Scott Marks and TJ Bannon. You guys, please take a moment and introduce yourselves and tell the audience a little bit about yourselves while I get everything up and rolling. So go ahead, you first, Scott.
Hi, I'm Scott Marks. I am part of the Mockingbird Foundation, which is a nonprofit that raises money for music education. Kids through Phish fans. I also do all the set list updates for Phish.net, and I have been assisting Jeremy Welsh on all things Umphrey's since that came around, and I have been doing Umble since 2013, and it's just one of the best weekends of the year, and I'm happy to be in Boston for this and for me to be doing this podcast.
I'm TJ Bannon, aka the Knower Many Things. I'm on Threads and Instagram. I'm a huge Umphrey's fan. Been seeing them for about 20 years. Huge fan of live music and music in general. And I like to make thoughts on music and thoughts and just talk about music. That's my thing.
Love it. So. Awesome. All right. Well, let's get into last night because there is a lot to talk about. And first of all, thank you for your post. If anybody's on Facebook and in the Velociraptors group on Facebook, he is the one responsible for the post with the timestamps and all the nerdy information. So thank you for that. It was very easy to copy and paste and communicate that to other people that were asking, especially the S2 set. Everybody wanted to know what unfolded with that. So where do you guys want to start? Start at the top, start set one, band's choice. All right, go ahead. First, share your thoughts.
I think it was great to, I'm not sure who created the set list. Somebody was thinking it was Brendan last night, but you had about a little hour's worth of music and maybe five songs. You count Bridges' two songs, who went back and forth to the triple wide. And
I always count that as one song.
Staircase got a chance to go out there. It was a fantastic way to start the weekend.
I agree.
Yeah, I really love the Staircase, and I thought the 40s jam was impressive, pretty unique. Like Bayless took his liberties with the solo, and I love the handoff. It always makes me feel happy that I'm an Umphrey's fan, just like the bliss that brings. It's just super fun, and the visuals were amazing. We can't not talk about the visuals during that first set. Just
each time I see Ben's work, it's on a different level. First time I really noticed it was in Chicago 2 years ago when they had the screen behind the band, and it just even better this time around. You could have the band in front of you, and then it's just kind of spread out further and further and further back with mirror images. It's one of the coolest effects that he has, and I love it.
I love how he draws inspiration from so many different places, present and past. There's a lot of different interviews or things that I've read with him where he will cite taking inspiration from Van Halen's 84 tour or something that Bayless would jokingly say happened before he was even born. but it's great that he takes inspiration from all over and really embraces all of the new technology and all the new things that are out there. And I think kind of that the advantage is his age, is that he's very open and receptive to all of the new things that are out there. So it's such a pleasure to watch him work every single time I see them live, seriously. And I was never a light person ever. I was never the light show, this or that, but he blows me away.
He's having a good time too. I was in front of the soundboard last night, and one of the parts of the Stewart and the second set, I might be getting ahead of us here, was Ben directing the band and turned around, and he had the biggest grin on his face. And to have somebody who's doing a great job and then loves what he's doing, it's such a treat to witness, and to have the genuine enjoyment, where he's having a good time doing what he's doing, and we're obviously having a good time watching what he's doing. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
Well, and he's so young. There's so much of his career and his craft still to learn. So it's exciting. It's exciting to see what's in store for him, for sure.
And he knows the music really well.
Yeah.
He has really good timing with the signals with the band, which is really, really nice too.
Definitely. Any other set one comments, thoughts before we move on?
I thought it was interesting to have them actually come out of the gate with band picks. I feel like in past years at the Cap in Chicago, that was the third set of each night, and to have that right out the gate was an interesting spin.
I will say, actually, I'm not surprised that band choice was first. And the reason why is because of the two nights in Vermont before. And you were there, so you can agree with this. I watched them. Thanks to Keith. Shout out Keith for on the streams all weekend. Thank you, dude. But those nights were just absolutely incredible in Vermont. And so I felt like the band choice being played first, where as in years past it was played last, was for them, it was kind of like easing into everything after playing two completely fire shows in Vermont. So that's why I wasn't surprised to see it. It felt, I don't want to say easy, but when you're looking at all the sets that are kind of laid out for the weekend, maybe it kind of, if you had to pick one, that would have been the easiest for them to do coming off of those two nights. So that's why I felt like I wasn't surprised to see
it. It's a nice transition too, where you're going from shows that are completely banned to the first set with the band, and then kind of branching off into the more fan interaction. So it worked out well.
Yeah, I agree. Anything else you want to add before we move on?
Well, I love Night 2 in Vermont. Yeah. Birthday show and killer choice, except for Wallace.
Yeah. I was waiting. I was like, if you weren't going to say it, I was going to throw it in there for you.
But thank you guys, and love the staircase and the staircase jam. Like, it was going places. It went places. It was really cool. So.
That first night in Vermont is 5 songs that are a love language for me. So I was...
Joel was saying it was one of the shows of the year.
That's what he said. Although I feel like, I mean, we're going way off now, but Night 1 in South Carolina, I think, is also up there for contender of show of the year. So we're going way off. But I think that's what I told you you needed to listen to. I was like, you need to listen to this show.
419.
So. All right. Let's bring it back. We could go down so many rabbit holes, I feel, the three of us. All right, so on to set 2. And this is always a very interesting set to me. And it's funny because my buddy Brent said, somebody made a comment to him, and he was only fucking around, but made a comment to him that the votes aren't actually being what people are texting, that like Umphreys has already decided ahead of time what's going to happen, and the voting is an illusion. I'm like, there's no way that's true. And he's like, well, I've never seen anybody that's voted on their phone and texted, and then it actually happened. Well, last night that happened for Brent, so it was pretty funny. He's like, and then later on, somebody was like, oh my God, my vote. And he's like, see, it isn't true. It's happening in real time. So just such a unique idea all around, for sure, and a really cool way to get everybody involved. I know last year you were able, if you were at home, you could still text them. I don't know if that was the way it was this year too. I know the voting overall beforehand was open to everybody this year for the first time ever. So yeah, let's get into that set 2 thoughts. I'm going to pull it up because there is a lot to remember from that set. So go ahead.
My favorite was the sludge and dub. I thought it was really well done. It was like Dub Trio-esque. Remember when they toured with Dub Trio like 2008, and just everything to like the vocals to Jake doing like the heavy guitar, and it was just really cool. Like, that was definitely a favorite right there.
You know, Bayless just wanted to do the dub so bad. Any opportunity he gets to do the reggae voice, he's here for. So,
I think for me, and just as a recap for those that might not be totally familiar with this set, you are inside the House of Blues or whichever venue, and there's a giant screen where you text Umbol, and then you. To like a 5-digit number, and then you're texting ideas in. And so somebody, you know, might be Kevin Browning, will get it, and then he'll decide which one to send off the band. It's probably going through the band's monitors, and that's how we're going from one thing to another. And so it's like an hour-long set, and this is probably like 12 or 15 ideas. And for me, it's always blown me away just like watching the band, you know, come up with an idea pretty much on the spot. You know, I grew up playing trombone and, you know, would solo for 16 bars or whatever. And, you know, it's just jazz, and it's, you know, here's me. And then it's like the band's up here, and just, I appreciate it so much. I think my favorite part, I had two, that's Jake conducting, which just had some really cool ideas through that, you know, 5 or 6 minute span. And I like it when things are a little out of the norm, and where everybody was on the keys. I don't think I've seen that. I've seen, you know, Brendan will jump on keys every so often, and Jake... more Jake, I think. But to see that happening with everybody was really cool, and I enjoyed that.
And they finally got, towards the end of that jam, they finally got into like a nice little groove, which was really fun to see everybody, even Andy and Chris on there too. So.
I think it was really funny when the one it says just learned how to play last week, and they would play and then they'd all come together and then they're playing really well and they're doing what they do. And then they're like, oh, wait a minute. No, we're supposed to be playing. Wait, that's not what we're supposed to be doing right now. Like, as hard as they were trying, it was difficult because they just kept acting. They're just like, fuck it. Like, what's the next one? Cause we can't play badly. So that was really funny to me.
Kind of against the core of what they're supposed to be doing.
For sure. Chicago Subway at Midnight was a lot of fun. I thought
One Note was pretty good.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Party on a Beach in Morocco. That was a lot of fun.
A lot of fans were raving about that in my section after.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. You brought up the Ben, the light stick, take the jam. Everyone on keys, now the drums. Play your favorite song,
yeah.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
So I was walking after the show, and I guess this was like behind the scenes a couple of nights ago that they were
at the Windjammer. Yep.
With Puff the Magic Dragon. I missed that.
Or not, so, in Wilmington it was. When the parade.
I grew up taking trips up to Vermont, and one of the tapes in the car was like Peter, Paul, and Mary, 10 Greatest Hits. So I've always loved Puff the Magic Dragon, and seeing that, and then seeing Brendan do his take on it, where the lyrics were
in
not
only
exactly
the
not,
way that
not,
Bayless could.
The lyrics are not exactly not safe for work. They're safe for work.
They're not the version you sing to your children before bed.
But it was really cool to see that, and the crowd got a kick out of it, and I did, of course.
Yeah, that was just fun.
That was like a new take, just trying to reboot, you know. Reboot an old childhood.
The adult version of, you know, the real Puff the Magic Dragon. You know, when you get older and you start finding out things about, like, your family and your aunt, your uncles and stuff, and you're like, oh, wow, this is what was really going on. This is the truth about Puff the Magic Dragon.
Subliminal message the whole time.
Learning new things about our childhood favorites.
I also liked how Joel and Stasek just sat down like kids and just like, hey, Uncle Brendan's like singing us a song. This is
Uncle Brendan's story time.
Let's have some more Uncle Brendan story time. Maybe in 2 Mondays, Bayless.
It will like replace Why Not with that. I like this. I love this idea. All right, Brendan, let's do this. Okay. Daring Escape is another one, and then Medeski, Martin, and Umphreys, I think. Drum and Brace Yourself. Those were
the
other
ones. Yeah,
that
was a startup. It sounded like he was going into like a peaceful at the beginning of that. Anybody else pick up on?
Only stuff I caught during the Medeski, Martin, and Umphreys portion were All in Time, and Qbert teases Nachos for All on Twitter. It also caught mail.
Jimmy Knowledge!
Yeah, I missed the mail package on that. But Jeremy, if you're listening, go check it out and add to my notes. It's always fun to see like little things sprinkled into like the middle of the stew art.
Definitely. All right. Any other comments? I mean, this all just happened last night. So, I mean, there will be much more to you know, remember and think. And, I mean, I've got all these screens here with notes. It's, you know, there's a lot.
No notes!
Yeah, I rehearsed on the car on the way here.
I like that. Nice. All right. So then that takes us to set 3.
Oh, my gosh.
All Night Wrong.
Oh, my gosh. Set 3 from the opening notes of, like, Roundabout, I was just, like, geeking out. I was, like I'm a, like, prog rock / grunge nerd. So it just, like, encompassed all my nerdiness in that set.
There have been so many Roundabout fakeouts over the years that, like, are they really doing it? And then it's, like, all right, they're actually doing it.
It's actually happening. What is that? Is that from The Office where Michael Scott is like yelling and everybody, he's like, it's happening. And like everybody's running out. Like that was me yesterday, like, oh my God, it's actually happening.
And it was a killer, like, choice for the opener. Just like
the whole set was just
that first note. I'll tell you, like, he just hits that note. I'm like, yep.
It was Jake in the spotlight and everybody's attention. Like, I just like zoned out. I was like, whatever I was saying was meaningless. Let's just watch this guy go.
This is it. It was amazing. It was so great. Kid Charlemagne.
Oh, I love Kid Charlemagne. Like, one of the best solos of all time. I'm a big Steely Dan fan, and it was just like, seeing it live, I've only seen it twice as of yesterday, and Brendan knocked the solo out of the water. Vocals were on. Jam was really cool. It turned into an Humphries jam.
Of course. Jazz
Odyssey, yep.
Because they always, you know, then they got an Humphries on it.
Like, I grew up and on grunge and seeing Plush and Hunger Strike, which Hunger Strike, I think, was the second time they've ever done that. 7-year layover, I think. I enjoyed everything there, and when they brought Andy out for Big Papa, and like, if you're like, right when he was out there, they changed the screen to have like 20 pictures of Andy of the same picture all behind him, and he had no idea, and saw a picture later on, was cracking up. So nobody knew what was going on behind them for the most part during that piece. And again, credit to Ben and management for putting that together and kind of giving a little Easter egg for people in the crowd.
That was fun.
I love like the jam from Hunger Strike into No More Tears. That was probably what was going through my head in middle school right there. So just like the Hunger Strike, I rewatched the video today, just like two grunge legends, like, well, I put trying to say
that's just such a legendary, like, it's just such a legendary song. Just it's
this YouTube performance is brought to you by the Olds.
Yeah. Actually, I might be the youngest one sitting here.
These are all blonde hairs in my beard. So, yeah.
No, I love it. I'm so here for this vibe coming from them with this set.
And like the No More Tears, I got one last year in Minneapolis. I've been waiting to get that since like 05 or 06. And then this one was even better because it was like a jam into it. Me and my buddies were talking. We were like, oh, is it going to be 46-2 or something like that? And then like we heard the bass line. Then we were like, okay, buckle up. Like, let's do this.
Call to Personality too was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, absolutely crushed it.
Call to Personality right there is example. I mean, there are so many examples of why we had to wait to do this for Chris, but like, just so good. He's just so good vocally too. Like, it's just so good.
You didn't even like need the lyric sheet half the time, because like that's like imprinted in people's DNA. That song, if you're like a music fan, it's just Living Color, Vernon Reed riffs. Just,
I said this earlier to my friend, that I've always been a tribute band, cover band snob. Like, I never liked anything like that. My whole life, even before I knew Humphries. And I always hated when I would go to a show and there would be covers. Humphries has completely changed that for me. And I think, and actually I would say it's very safe to say the reason why is because of how well and how respectful they are to the artists. Like, they could legitimately play, I believe, almost anything, especially any classic rock song, any 90s, anything like on the radio or whatever, but they don't cover things just to cover them. And when they do cover something, it's good. A lot of bands just cover shit to do it, and then it's bad. That's happened a lot of times. And so I really respect that they don't just do it because they're good musicians and good.
Like, I thoroughly enjoyed the debut of No Excuses in Seattle. That warmed my grunge heart. My inner child was just loving it. It's like, oh, so good.
I'm so here for them doing the 90s.
And then they went into Wizard
covers.
And Pure Humphrey's form. It was like,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, I like it. I'm here for it. Offer comments.
I don't know any band out there that does covers as good as Humphrey's McGee.
Yeah.
Now, some are hits or misses with other bands, and it's like time after time after time, Humphrey's just nails it. The compositions, the vocals. It's amazing to see and to hear.
It's very helpful in getting people interested in Humphreys. I will tell you that even before Zonkey and even after Zonkey, I will say to someone, oh, you need to listen to this. And I will play them, if it's possible, whatever cover of the band I know they like, whether it's their favorite band or not. They love it. I play them Humphreys covering that song because that's going to be the way to their heart, because it's a song they're already familiar with.
Good gateway for sure.
And they, you know, then people are like, okay. And then you just kind of open the door and allow them to venture in further. So it's really helpful in recruiting new fans, guys. So thanks for that. Like, it definitely makes it very easy in getting people interested that are maybe otherwise a little intimidated by what's going on elsewhere with Humphreys, like maybe what happened in set two. Maybe they're a little overwhelmed by that. So yeah, any other set three comments?
Just the song placement was great. It was just a great all night long. Thank you, fans. Thank you, Humphreys.
Like, good choice. I think I got three that I voted for. I got three, so I'm pretty happy with that. And I'm happy with what else was on there. So it was great.
Fans crushed it for picking out songs for sure.
Yeah, they did a really good job. All right, so that brings us up to tonight. Anybody got any predictions, wants, hopes, thoughts that they want to share?
Do you want to go first?
I'm trying to see, because we've got Ross Stew. We got a new song on deck in one of these sets. There's a new mashup coming. I'm trying to look at these notes here. Yeah, that's what I'm looking on here to see.
And a new original.
A new original.
New Stew.
Let me see what else this says.
A new cover.
Yeah, we've got a lot still on deck tonight. Like, I'm excited. So, thoughts?
The Ross Stew is...
Choose Your Own Adventure tonight.
So it's all fan stuff tonight.
Film scenes. All improv score. The fan voted classic film scenes. Ross Stewart's track, new mashup, new original, new cover.
So this is the first Humble where we've had five quarters, if you will, and there's only one band. So it looks like we're going to get a lot more out of this. And just, you know, the Ross Stewart is my favorite part of Humble, I think.
Mm-hmm.
you get so tied into songs when you're listening to them and voting for them, and it's great when the songs come up and that the ones you wanted, and then it's not so good when you have your heart set on things like I did in Chicago a couple of years ago, and I went through the entire set and none of my picks showed up, but it's turned out to be one of my favorite Stewart sets. To this day, I listen to it constantly.
I'm right there with you.
It's like an album. It's like a brand new album that was just unleashed in front of us.
When I saw my first Humble in Chicago in 2013, the Choose Your Own Adventure set, I'm used to seeing shows in arenas and amphitheaters, and then to experience that in a smaller venue and to have the band being completely controlled by the crowd and then watching the votes come in, people getting super excited when it's their song. And just, it's something that's unparalleled in the music industry. Like, I don't see it anywhere else. I've never had before, probably will again, the fact that they're still doing it over a decade after my first Humble. I don't take anything for granted. And the fact that they're constantly innovating with new ideas. Last time around we had, you got to Choose Your Album. This time it's now the movies, and I'm very curious to see how that works out with the screenshots or, clips of the movies and having the band improvise around it. It's going to be something that's
gonna be really cool to watch. So glad to be there and to hopefully have a good viewpoint of the screen to see everything that's going on.
It's gonna be cool. Go ahead.
My idea for the cover, like I'm hoping with all my Chicago heart, is they do a full band Handshake Drugs. It would be awesome to see Bayless start on acoustic and then go to the synchronized guitar, and just hope the Humphries fans were there, voted for it, because they've been playing it a lot solo, and I've seen that he and Joel do a couple Wilco covers, so to see it finally come up as like a full band.
They did one on Valentine's Day.
That was I was trying to break your heart. Yeah, that was a
New Haven, I think.
I thought it was Norva.
Okay, you might be right. I knew it was Valentine's Day, but it's going back a long time. But it'd be nice to have a little Chicago flavor into tonight for sure.
And also the mashup, I don't know. Before I was here, I was looking at what covers they played a lot, just trying to practice and rehearse, and I was like, I have no idea.
I'm excited.
But I hope if they bring back like a Stu song, either it's a new one or it's Until We Meet Again, which is one of my favorite Stus of all time.
Has been played since 2017. So I got that, I think, what, twice in 2016, once after that. Kind of a slower song. Yep. Slower Stew. And I'd love to hear that again.
That would just, like, that's one of the greatest.
Or bring back Rise to the Top or Gravity's Real. A couple of ones from 2013.
That would be nice.
Not trying to be a hater.
Do it!
What did you say earlier? Don't be a coward, guys. Don't be a coward, guys. Do it.
Bring it back.
You're being challenged.
Not to be a hater, but I think that they get... No, not on you guys. I'm like, I think they should take unevolved and cut it in half in like 8 minutes, because it's like a Onward and Upward thing. It's like two songs. It's like three songs actually. But if they keep the last like 7 minutes,
one is on and one is evolved, right?
Yeah, pretty
I'll
much.
Be here all day, guys. Thank you.
just keep the evolved part. Like the high pitched Bale stuff is fun and all, but just the last part is just like
sometimes you gotta trim the fat.
Like the jamming and noodling is fun and all, but that part, it's like, also where is Stinko's? Is that gonna end up in a new song? Like, is that last part? Because I've gotten like my Stinko.
You know what? The other day when I saw your Insta stories and you were at the Ben and Jerry's graveyard, it made me think that we need to make an Humphries song graveyard, and we need to, like, what are the songs? This is a job for Jimmy
Knowledge.
Some covers
out there, like Bell Bottom Blues, Joel. I'll get that back later, I'm sure, on a text.
But, I mean...
Fantastic.
Wow.
Fantastic.
So, just...
Ben and Jerry's graveyard.
We were talking about the old songs. Yeah, we were talking about Stinko's.
Like, that last part is so awesome. Like, I've seen Bayless do the last vocal part out of Much Obliged Jams by himself, and it's just awesome. And I don't know, will the new song come from the vocals do from like Triple Wide from New Year's, or like what was the other song that they played at the Vic that had a vocal stew back? That was like 2 years ago, I guess.
I would obviously have to look at my notes.
Is it going to be an all new original? Like, I'm excited, like really excited, and I'm just.
There's a lot of exciting stuff ahead for us, for sure.
And one of my friends who's going to see Humphries for the first time tonight, and
ooh,
I've kind of kept my mouth shut, but super excited for her, because I know what's going to happen, or a lot of this stuff with these themes. Obviously, I know what's going to be played and whatnot, but just, you know, these sets, and I'm like, I'm looking forward to it. And I'm thinking, so I can just picture her mind being blown with like the movies and just everything.
Oh, yeah. She has no idea what she's in for. That's amazing. That's
and my advice to the new Umbullers is always go for the underdog song. Just make the Choose Your Own Adventure weird. Just like you were when you read the Choose Your Own Adventure as a kid. Like,
I think we're weird enough.
We're just, what did I say earlier? I'm weird. I will always be weird. And I am sorry because I'm not going to stop being weird.
Choose like the song that you've never seen the title for. And just go with your instinct.
Just go for it. Just do it.
Just mess shit up, everybody.
Just do it. Is
there anarchy, chaos.
Yes. Happy Umbull, bitches. Is there anything else that you guys want to add before I thank our sponsors and our contributors and wrap everything up?
I think so. Sarah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. This was so much fun, and we definitely need to do like an actual episode and just have a bunch of time to nerd out. I mean, we're going to have this whole other second night to talk about, so maybe we'll have to get together and do something else. So quick, before I get into my ending, tell everybody where they can find you on the socials.
I am BizarreCive on Twitter and Instagram.
Awesome.
I'm know of many things on Threads and Instagram, and I have a Substack too, but you can find that. It's talk about music and songs and that's about it.
All the things. I think I went ahead and like did pretty good with all of my links and stuff. So in the description box, there's links and all the stuff in there. So scroll through there. So I want to thank all my contributors. We have a bunch. Chris, Casey, Nathan, Jamie, Angie, Leah, Joshua, Ken, David, Joseph, Jason, Maria, Harry, Brian, Nancy, Joel, Nicole, and thank you to our sponsors, Driftless Mixology, Rough Gauge, of course.
Fuck you.
And Internet FM, and they have a really awesome contest if you want to go to Soulshine this year and you can't get tickets. They're like not in your budget. They have a really great contest going on. 2 GA passes for Soulshine. So enter that. There is a link in the description box for that. And yeah, I'm super excited to get ready and just like head down there because I've just got all this excited energy in me. So thank you so much again, guys. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
So thank you. And see you guys later. And thank you for joining me. I'll see you guys out there. Mad love. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. Please be sure to leave a review of the show. It would mean so much to me, and it helps get this podcast into the ears of even more fellow music fans. If you're not already following the show on social media, find us on Facebook and Instagram at Dropped Among This Crowd Podcast, or check out DATCmediacompany.com for more. Thank you again. I'll see you around these parts real soon. Mad love.